radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Hebrews, and we're in chapter 6. We trust you'll have your Bible open. Stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews chapter 6. And what a lot of folks don't recognize many times is that in Hebrews chapter 6, what we have actually is more than just a passage of fear and trembling. This is where the Bible talks about it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, once they've tasted and so forth of the heavenly gift, to renew them again and so forth. And there's a lot of controversy about what that all is about. We're not going to drill into that so much today. What I want to do is I want to bring you to a different place here in this passage, one that I think will be a blessing to you. We are coming up upon the time of Thanksgiving. And I don't know what you would say you're most thankful for, but in times like these, as the songwriter said, we need a Savior, don't we? And aren't you glad that we have a Savior? Not only a Savior, but a Savior who gives us every single thing we need for the hardest of the hard times. When you look at this passage, our focus, I trust, will begin mostly down in verse 7, where the Bible says, "For the earth drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, and receiveth blessing from God." And we're going to put that on hold now, but I wanted you to know where we're aiming for. Okay, you see that, right? This is talking a little bit about what we might think about at a time of Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving deals with the field. It deals with the things that are out there that we get to bring in and partake of as time goes on. But I have to set the table for us in this passage. And that begins in verse 1 where it says, "Therefore." And again, right away, we're commended back to the things that were said before. Okay? Because it's based on the things that were said before. That's why it says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection." Now, it's an interesting thing to consider these words, because first of all, when you hear the word perfection, all of us bristle just a little bit. Nobody's what? Nobody's perfect, we say. And yet the Bible tells us that you must be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Whoa! That's in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. What are we to make of these things? Well, when you think of the term perfect, you realize that if you do misunderstand it, you can end up in a bad place. There are certain religious persuasions that believe in a thing called sinless perfection, holiness doctrine. And some old deacon says, "Yeah, I've arrived at sinless perfection." You just go talk to his wife, right? You know, I mean, just saying, she knows. Not perfect, okay? Not in the truest sense. But the Bible does say, as many of us as are perfect in Philippians, let us mind the same thing and so forth. So there is something here, but many times we are limited, aren't we, in our understanding by our own, maybe, you know, inner thoughts about the words before we drill into them. Well, let me just take away a little the mystical side of that word perfection. It literally means God's intended end. It means what God intended you to be and what God is. Okay, He's perfect and we are supposed to be perfected according to what He has in mind. And there is a designated end, therefore. God doesn't do anything haphazard. He knows what He wanted from you and from me. He has a design in mind. The Bible says, "Whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ." Will you make that place on this earth? No. But one day we will see Him and we will be what? Like Him, for we shall see Him even as He is. So there will come a time when the positional perfection that we have will be perfected. We are complete in Him, the Bible says, even now. But we don't experience the fullness of that. But the intended end is that we would be people who understand exactly what God is up to and cooperate with that. Because what He did when Jesus died, He made it possible for you and me to be identified with Christ. And when we're identified with Christ, we are made to be free from sin and dead to sin. We used to be dead in trespasses and sins. Now we are dead to sins. Think about that. That means that just like when you were in your lost condition, you would go from place to place and think you were doing some nice thing, maybe giving a cup of cold water to somebody who was working for you. You thought, "Well, I'm a nice person. You know, I take care of the little animals. I'm working with the, you know, Humane Society." You know, that's funny. We've gotten to the place in our society that's one of the few things we all agree on. Man, let's take care of the puppies, you know. Forget about our fellow man. Go punch them in the face. They don't agree with us. This is the world we're in now. But we are living in a crazy time, aren't we? But my point is this, is that we understand that we used to think we were doing good things. But when we realize what the Word of God said, it said all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Because we were dead in trespasses and sins. Now you think about that. So now let's take the alternate situation now. Dead to sin. Just like no matter what we did could affect us as far as our relationship with God, because we were dead in trespasses and sins, all we did was exacerbate our problem. In fact, when we did good things as a lost person, we might have congratulated ourselves and thereby pushed our own boat away from shore a little bit further because we thought we were pretty good. And the devil's more than happy to fan the flame of your delusion that you're a good person by your good works. But the Bible makes it clear it is not of works, lest any man should boast. So we have an understanding now, a little bit more, I hope, of the idea of perfection. We've been made perfect in Christ, but you don't know that till you know that. You see, you don't know how to attain unto perfection, which is Jesus saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You can't get into that position with Him without having an understanding of what He did and how it works. That's why Paul says in Romans 6, "Likewise, reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin and alive unto God." Now, when we're looking at verse 1, it goes on. It actually says further in there that you want to pick up on. It says, "Therefore, leaving the principles." Now, the word principles here is the Greek word arche. Arche, if you think of something archaic, you think of something really old, because what they're saying is it's something at the beginning of something. Archaeology. Let's go back and see things that started first. Well, the Word has the idea of that very idea in front of us. Leaving the principles, the arche, the idea is first or elemental principles. If you think of the elements, remember the table of elements, you know, you've got all the elements on there. We're talking about that. And when he says leaving that with the therefore, he's basically saying we've been talking about the arche. We've been talking about principles that you should be okay with already. We shouldn't be having to talk about this. This particular book is called Hebrews, which means it's written to a group of people who were Hebrew. And their problem was, in a nutshell, if you will, is that they didn't know whether they could really trust Jesus because he was from the tribe of Judah and he was setting himself forth as a priest who had offered himself as a sacrifice. Somehow somebody slithered in their midst and started throwing around doubt. And they were fastidious Jews. They wanted to get things right. If you were going to be a priest, you had to come from the tribe of Levi. So there was a little bit of a hitch in their faith. Have you ever done that? You ever hitch? It's like, is this right? Is this true? I think all of us have. Dr. Adrian Rogers used to say, doubt is just faith acting up. You know, you've got to test your faith, right? Somehow you have to sometimes say, "I believe that God's got me." And guess what? Many of you did that this morning. Okay, when you said, "I'm just going to church, man. I'm not going to worry about what the governor says. I'm not going to be worried about..." And what about your dinner this Thursday if you're having Thanksgiving dinner at your home? Are you going to have people? Some people are saying, "I'm going to drill into this and have 15 more just because." You know, because they're just little renegades. And Christians have always been able to be that because we seek a city whose builder and maker is God and have a higher aim. But I want you to know what he's been telling them up to this point to give you some idea of what these elementary principles are. And you would say, elementary? Really? Well, he starts out in chapter 1 as saying Jesus created all things, holds all things together by the word of his power, that he's the creator, that he was called the Son of God, that he was better, a word that's big in Hebrews, better than the angels. He was better than Moses. He was better than the Levitical priesthood. In fact, he drops the whole idea about the Levitical priesthood in chapter 3, verse 1. If you just flip the page, you probably see it. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the holy calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our possession." So right away, he's starting to suggest who Jesus is. He's the high priest of our profession. Christ Jesus. Consider Him. And then if you let your eye fall into it a little bit further, you would find Him pointing out in verse 6 of chapter 5, as He saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So in other words, He's actually answering their question, but he gets to chapter 5 before He actually says out loud what the answer is. Think about that. God lets us kind of wriggle a little bit on that line where we're worried. He'll let you struggle. He'll let you worry. And He'll let you work it out. It was Job who said, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Remember that? You know, I know that my Redeemer liveth. That's all I need to know. And He will stand on the earth in the latter day, and He will be there, and I will see Him with mine own eyes and not those of another. We understand that Job had an idea. And he was the first book of the Bible. He was the earliest recorded truth that we were given, and it was right away dealing with struggles, dealing with trials, and dealing with wriggling with doubt and darkness and clouds. Well, they wriggled a little bit, and He gives them, He's better than the angels, He's better than Moses, He's better than Abraham, and guess what? He's better than Levi. He came from a higher. And He will make the point even further. In chapter 7, it says in verse 10, for he, Levi, was yet in the loins of his father Abraham when Melchizedek met him. And Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, and so thus, inadvertently, Levi tithed to Melchizedek as well. Gets a higher priesthood. Now, all those things are heady things, and we just said, what elementary principles? That's what he's calling elementary. We're like, ooh, I'm still not sure what you just said, Pastor. You know, because there's so much that's so good. But once you get your foundation good, you will be able to say, I have full assurance of hope. I don't know if you noticed in your bulletin, but that's the title of the message today. He's trying to get us to the place where we have full assurance of hope. I hope you have that, because that's what God wants you to have. He would have you to be fully assured in your heart of what He has done for you. Now, the Bible says, leaving those principles, let us go on to perfection, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of doctrines, of baptism. You see, all these things, people wrestle. Denominations are spurned because it's like, look at all these. We're going to divide over how to be saved. We're going to divide over repentance. We're going to divide over laying on of hands. We're going to divide over baptism and eternal judgment. You know, some people don't even believe in eternal judgment. Now, they got a real problem, because just because they don't believe in it doesn't make it go away. Well, he says, let us go on to perfection in verse 1. And it says, and this we will do, verse 3, if God permit. 4. Circle it. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. Now, if you're looking at the trees and not the forest, you get in trouble. And all I want you to do at this point, because this is not going to be my focus. I'm not going here. I'm not going to fall in here, okay? Be real easy to, because I'd like to take time to explain to us again, because it's a delight to do so. But I'm not going to. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to be helped if you'll just get this in your mind. It is impossible. Whatever he's just said, it's not possible. And he says in verse 7, for the earth, and this is where he kind of illustrates why it's impossible. It says, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.